Okay, Mike, go start with Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Okay, Mike, you will.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for letting me schedule this today. If you'll recall, about 2 years ago, actually it'll be 2 years ago next month, the commissioners and the planning staff went from township to township where we have zoning jurisdiction and asked for input from the area residents and the township trustees at that time as to what they'd like to see in the way of development, changes to the zoning code, changes to the land use plan. And in doing that, we got usually between 60 and 100 people at those meetings. What I'm going to present today is the outcome from those meetings in as far as changes to the zoning code. And we'll be talking about the townships where we have zoning jurisdiction. Those are the ones that are shown in red on the map. But before we get started, I'd like to thank, first of all, the commissioners for giving us the opportunity to look at the zoning code to make these changes. I'd like to thank the township trustees for all the work that they put in the committee work and working with their township residents on subcommittees to come up with these changes as well, and the residents that worked on those subcommittees. I'd like to thank also the Home Builders Association, because they periodically reviewed this as we went through it, as well as the Three Valley Trust, who also reviewed it periodically as we went through. But I'd like to thank the staff as well, because they put in a lot of work, Dave Fair, Joe Schmidt, and Susan Jackson, in coming up with this. To go through the process, just to give you an idea where we are, again, the initial meetings were done about 2 years ago, and that's where we took the input from the residents and the township trustees as far as changes to the zoning. We then worked with the township trustees in committee. The townships, not all of them, but some of them had subcommittees set up with township residents. And what we would do, we would draft up changes to one section of the code, bring it to a monthly meeting, discuss those changes. The township trustees then would take them back to the subcommittees or to their full board and discuss those proposed revisions, then come back the following month, get a new section, but bring back the comments from the old section, and we would make those adjustments to that section, then we'd move forward. And it took us about a year and a half to get that done. Then we moved into the next stage, which was to give a public presentation. This was done this past October, where we took all those changes for the entire code, made a public presentation to the area residents. What we did, we invited personally everyone that signed in from the initial input meetings. Then we had the meeting in October to get their input on the changes. We then took those back to the committee and made some final changes based on those comments that we got from the county residents. And that brings us to where we are now. And what I'm here to do today is ask the commissioners to formally initiate these revisions as a text amendment to the county code. Not asking approval or disapproval on these changes right now. What I'm asking is that we initiate the process to have the public hearings to put the question on the table as to whether or not these changes should be made. And if that's what the commissioners decide to do, then we go through the process that's identical to a rezoning hearing. We go to a Planning Commission public hearing, Zoning Commission public hearing, and then it comes back to the commissioners for approval or disapproval. Then there's a 30-day referendum period, and it takes effect after that. What we found out from the public meetings was that most of the residents and township trustees wanted to have more input with regards to zoning and the zoning process. They wanted to have more options in the way of zoning districts. So we looked at that. Wanted to have more open space where we have zoning jurisdiction and maintain the rural character of the areas where we have zoning jurisdiction, which is basically the western side of the county. The first thing we looked at was the A districts. Right now we have one A district in our code, the A1 district, and the minimum lot size in that district is A1. Through conversations with the residents, the input meetings, and the trustees, again, they were looking for more options. They were looking for larger tracts. So we developed 5 different A districts, A2, 3, 5, 10, and 20, and those numbers correspond with the minimum lot size in that particular district. So, for example, the minimum lot size in an A10 district is 10 acres. This gives the property owners a menu of choices as to how they want their property to be developed or not developed. If someone wants to maintain large tracts on their property, they have the option of changing the zoning to 20-acre minimum. If they want to keep it the way it is so they can cut it up into 1-acre tracts, they still have that option too, leaving it up to the property owners. In the R districts, keeping with the theme of trying to create more open space and more rural character, we kept the density levels the same in the R districts, but we require now, or the proposal is to require, a 35% open space in any development done in an R district. Everything else is the same in those districts. We also developed a new section called conservation districts. We added this to the code. Some of the aspects of it is that there has to be a 50% open space or green space requirement. They have to maintain what we call a rural view from the road, and I'll get into that in just a second. We want to save the natural features on the property. We will be requiring a pre-submittal meeting with the developer, where the developer would have to come in and the property owner would have to come in, meet with the county planning staff and the trustees, and if the trustees choose a subcommittee, if they want to set up a subcommittee, to look at the proposal. At that time, we would define where that open space would have to be, what features would be saved, how the view from the road would be, and then plot the housing sites around that open space. We also want to create a green space network through these developments. The first thing I want to point out, though, is what we're calling the rural view from the road. If you look at this slide here, you'll see that you don't see any houses. What you see is a field and then a hillside with trees. This is in Liberty Township on Princeton Road, and the developer did this by choice. They weren't required to do this, but what we're going to propose to do in the code is require developers to do this kind of thing. And what happened here, this is a PUD development where the front portion of the property was left in field and the trees were left in place on the hillside, and all the development is put behind the trees. So when you drive down the road, you basically see no home sites. Again, this isn't required, but this is something that we're going to require. Here's another example. This is also in Liberty Township where the field is left in front. There's a line of trees and all home sites are behind these trees. Driving down the road, it looks like a country road. Here's another view of that same development. You can see the path that was put in. Here's another one where the houses are immediately on the other side of these trees. These trees were existing along the road. Because the trees were up close to the road, you can maintain that rural view without setting the houses back because they're blocked by the trees up close. Here's another view of that same development with the path that is required along county roads when the development's put in. Here's a development where the main drive back into the site is lined with existing evergreen trees, and they were left in place to not only block the view from the county road, but also block the view as you're going back into the development. And again, I said we want to try and save some of the natural features on the property in doing these conservation developments. That includes creeks, hillsides, woodlands, any of the natural features on the property. In addition, we want to try and create a green space or an open space network. If you look on this map here, you see that this is the land use plan for those townships where we have zoning jurisdiction. You'll see the dark green. If you look at Ross Township down near the bottom of the map, you'll see a band of green that runs along the floodplains. What we are requiring in these conservation developments is that any green space or natural areas or open space be taken all the way to the property line of that proposed development, so that if the property next to it develops, their green space would hook into that, and we can create these large networks of open space that could either be left natural, or trails could be put in, and they become linear parks. One of the major changes that we have proposed in the in this rewrite has to do with landfills. We worked very closely with the Ohio EPA, worked very closely with Department of Environmental Services, Ann Flagg, and Mary Moore. We worked with a citizen group from Milford Township who helped us draft up some of the conditions that would be placed on these facilities should they locate in the county. I'd like to thank all those folks. Currently, these type of facilities are conditional use facilities in an agricultural district, which means they would have to present their plans to the Board of Zoning Appeals, and the Board of Zoning Appeals would make a decision and place conditions on those facilities when they were locating. And the appeal process would then be through the courts. It would just be one public hearing. What we're proposing is that a new special purpose district be created for landfills, both sanitary and construction demolition, and recycling facilities. And this special district would have to go then the route of a zone change should these facilities be proposed. That means it would have to go before a public hearing, before Planning Commission, then before Zoning Commission, then to the County Commissioners, and then there would be a 30-day referendum period. When looking at these type of facilities and what is required, one of the main questions that we got is how can we protect the environment if we were to locate these anywhere in the county? And the question always came up, if you have a construction and demolition landfill, that's one thing, but what happens if solid waste gets put into that facility? What kind of guarantee can we have to prevent that from happening? And in talking with the EPA and a number of authorities and Department of Environmental Services, there really is no guarantee. So what we did was draft a set of regulations that would make construction and demolition landfills as stringent as the sanitary waste facilities. And we talked with the EPA on what the requirements for both were. And you can see from this slide, for sanitary waste, there's a lot more requirements than there are for construction and demolition. Basically, for construction and demolition, you cannot locate over an aquifer, and you cannot locate in a floodplain. Everything else is up for grabs. So what we did is we drafted a series of conditions that go into the code that automatically apply, having to do with locating any type of facilities, and they're all the same for sanitary landfills, construction demolition, and recycling facilities. There's some slight variations, and those are spelled out in the code as well. I won't go through all of them, but you can see there's 43 different requirements. Also, some changes were made in the code with regards to the business and industrial districts. Two major changes. First of all, there is a requirement now for a landscaping or vegetative buffer on the business property if it is located adjacent to an R district. Also, no more than 10% of the parking will be permitted in the front of the building. You can have 10% of the parking in front, but the rest would have to be in the on the side or in the rear. This is an example of a piece of property actually in Westchester Township. It's a PUD development. The property you're looking at is commercial zoned. A retail center is going to go here. There's a residential development already on the property to the west, to your left. So the developer is going to be leaving this line of trees here. Now that's by choice in Westchester Township. What we're proposing is that we require it from now on in the code for business property. Here's another view of that same property. You'll have business where the camera was standing, the vegetative buffer, and then the residential development behind it. Here's that residential development. You can see the line of trees there. The other thing we're requiring in the code has to do with the parking. We noticed that there are a lot of very nice looking retail and commercial and industrial buildings in the county, but you don't always notice them because when, as you're driving down the street, what you notice is the cars in the front and the landscaping that's there to block the cars from view. Now parking is certainly necessary when you have a business because you want to see that parking from the road so you know where to go, so you're directed in the right place. But that can be done by putting a small amount of parking in the front where it's visible and park the rest of the parking on the side and in the rear. But you can also see the parking that's on the side from the road as well. Here's an example where we've got an office building with a sea of parking in the front. It's a very nice looking building, but you don't really notice it. You have to look past the cars to see it. Here's a building really also down in the Union Center area where those previous ones are. But the building is put up close to the road, very attractive building. And the parking, if you look to the right of the building, the parking is to the side. So you still see the parking from the road, but you also see the building. And that's what we're talking about doing. Here's another view of that. Very nice building. Here's an industrial building. This is a good example of what I'm talking about. Here's a office warehouse facility. You've got a small amount of parking in the front for the office workers, so you can still see the building, you can still see the landscaping. You can notice where the cars are, any visitor coming to the facility. But if you look to the left there, you can see there's also additional parking on the side of the building. And here, this is from the adjacent lot, which will be filled with a building at some point, so these cars won't be quite as visible, but they've got the rest of the parking on the side of the building, and you can see there's quite a bit of parking, but it's hidden from view as you're driving down the road. Here's a development where it's made like a neighborhood business district. There's parking along the street, small amount of parking, median strip in the center, nice landscaping. You can see where the parking is. You can see the attractive buildings, but it has just a small amount of parking in the front, and the majority of the parking is to the rear. Basically, these businesses have two entrances, and that's the kind of thing that can be done if a little design work is done. Here's one in an existing neighborhood, houses being turned into a business district. You see a little bit of parking from the side. You move a little bit past, and you can see it opens up into a large amount of parking in the rear, and you can also see that there is a vegetative tree-lined buffer between this facility and the residents behind. Even new structures in that same business district. Parking on the side, it's visible, but you can see the building and the landscaping and the vegetative buffer behind and to the side. Here you can see two businesses sharing a small parking lot in the front. You go into the driveway and you see it opens up into a large parking lot behind. This is what we're talking about. Another thing that we're proposing with this rewrite is a mixed-use overlay district. This allows for flexibility to create unique character in a development area. This can either be in an existing area or it could be a new development. It preserves or can create a particular character for that area. It establishes some new unique requirements just for that district. The underlying zoning, whether it be residential or business or industry, stays in place, but you have an overlay district that has unique requirements for, say, architectural style or color or building materials. Also looks at putting in requirements for landscaping, signage, and parking, sidewalks. What we're looking at here is Old Westchester, and you can see how some similar colors, some similar building materials, similar architectural styles, similar landscaping can create a certain feel. It makes compatible buildings, compatible uses. Even the new buildings can be made to blend in. Here's three houses all together, separate businesses, separate owners, rehabbed at different times, but because of the requirements for color, architectural style, signage, landscaping, they're very compatible and it looks real nice. Here's a different view of those. And they share parking in the rear. Here's the parking lot in that same business district, Old Westchester, where the parking from adjacent buildings is shared. But it's not only shared by those businesses. Because of the location of these businesses and that particular parking lot, it's near the center of the business district. It's also utilized by anyone shopping in the entire business district. And this is the kind of thing that we're talking about, because the requirements can be placed on for parking as well. For an example, just to give you an idea, Ross Township has an area similar to Old Westchester where this kind of district could be applied. It would be up to those property owners to take part in establishing what those requirements would be as far as the architectural styles, parking, landscaping, those kind of things. But I think there's some potential in Ross. And there are some areas where anywhere where a mixed-use development wanted to go in, these kind of requirements can be put down. And it would be up to the developer and the planning staff and planning commission and ultimately the commissioners as to what those are. I'm just running through these to show you the potential that we have down in the Ross area. Again, the underlying zoning stays in place, and you just add requirements for those items I mentioned for compatibility. Okay, again, where we are now, I'm here to ask the commissioners to initiate the process to begin the public hearings for this revision to take effect. And again, after today, it then goes to Planning Commission. Will probably be, if the commissioners do it today, it will be the 14th of February, where I'll make the same presentation to the Planning Commission. Then later in February, we'll go to the Zoning Commission, then either later again in February or early March, come back to the commissioners with an abbreviated version of this presentation and ask the commissioners to adopt these. But today, I'm just asking that the commissioners pass the resolution to initiate the process. And I don't know if any of the folks in the audience want to speak or not, but I'm open for questions as well.
Mike, I'd like to express our appreciation for all your hard work. You and your staff have done an excellent job. It's very time-consuming, but it's a very important issue. Any of the trustees that are here wish to make any comments or speak to this at all? Tom? Tom Wilsey, Ross Township. Also a state officer with the trustees.
Well, we just wanted to thank the staff like you did. You know, it's been so informative because as we started this process, everyone was gung-ho and everyone had their own ideas, and we really needed someone to rein us in and kind of come up with a comprehensive plan. Obviously, these guys worked overtime to get this done. They utilized all the resources available to them, not only their own staff but other staffs within the county. We're trying to make a concerted effort countywide, at least in the areas that are still under county zoning, to maintain the rural character that our people have told us adamantly that they want to maintain. So with the changes to the zoning code, then it's our intention to go over and redo our land use plans and adopt the zoning codes to fit our land use plans, and then we can pretty much let the people that live in the areas develop the areas where they live, rather than outsiders come in and tell us, dictate how we're going to be the rest of our lives. So this, as I said, was a concerted effort, and everyone involved, all six townships participated. We held monthly meetings for, what, a year and a half? So there's been a lot of input and a lot of time put into this, and I just wanted to tell you that we appreciate your time and hope that you'll look at this favorably. Thank you. If you have any questions.
Thanks, Tom.
Appreciate okay.
Anyone else have any comments at this time?
Yes.
I understand you're newly elected president.
Yes, I am. I'm Etta Reed with the Ohio Valley Development Council, the president. And on behalf of the Home Builders Association and the Development Council, we appreciate all of Mike's willingness to sit down and meet with us on several occasions to keep us informed of how the changes are occurring. Listen to our concerns. We didn't get everything we've asked for, but we understand that. We never do, it seems. But it was a good give and take, and we are fully in support of these regulations. Thank you.
Thanks, Etta. Congratulations, also.
Thank you.
Anyone else have any comment at this time?
Then I do have a resolution for the commissioners to initiate the process for the text amendment.
I do have a quick question, if I may.
Mr. Fox?
In terms of the homeowner or property owner that's sitting out there, that kind of boils it down to a basic question: what's this mean to me in turn? What are the most significant changes that you see between what we have and what changes are being proposed? I know you went through a lot of the.
The ones I went through are the most significant ones. But I guess as a property owner, if I own property in one of these townships we have jurisdiction, I guess it's the A districts, because it gives me a lot of options. If I'm, say, a farmer that wants to preserve as much property as possible, I might want to rezone my property A20 so that I know that when I'm gone, at least it can't go down to any less than 20 acres. Now, I could also work with the Three Valley Conservation Trust to preserve it as a farm. And even in A20, it can be left in a 100-acre tract. But if after I'm gone, I know that it's not going to go to any less than 20. On the other hand, if I'm a farmer that is looking to sell my property for development, I still have that option to leave it zoned A1, which it is now, and sell it to a developer where he could cut it up into 1-acre tracts. So it gives you more options, I should say.
So basically, it puts the floor to 1-acre tract.
The floor already is at 1-acre tracts, but now there's nowhere else to go. This gives options to go to larger tracts.
I got it.
You could also, and again, the option is there now to rezone a property to an R district too, and that option's still there. Just now, if you would rezone it to an R district, you have to leave 35% in open space.
Under the proposed changes.
Under the proposed changes, correct.
Do you have any sense of what that would do to densities?
The density, overall density, would stay the same, but you would cluster them in smaller groups.
Okay.
So in that smaller group, the density would be higher, but for the overall property, it would still stay the same.
So we always get into that argument when there's a proposed development.
Sure.
Generally, folks that are against it, I mean, I happen to like cluster development. I think it's a good tool, but then they start saying, well, on the areas that are where you're building, the density is much higher, but they forget it. They don't
right.
count the open space.
To look at the true density, you look at the open space.
Yeah. Okay.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you very much. And I'll be back with the same presentation.
Good.
is this something that should be, is it something that lends itself to sending out, inevitably when we have these hearings on specific projects, you hear well, nobody told me anything about those changes. Is this, is there some way to summarize this, to send it out to residents in those townships, maybe in partnership with the trustees, to say, here's, I'm just thinking out loud here.
We can work something out. I think we can probably come
up. Is there a way to condense all of this hard work and stuff to a message to property owners saying, you know, are we going to, because we'll have more hearings and so forth.
Yeah, I think we probably could do something like that. Right now, we have these changes on the webpage. I have talked with Chris Dumont from the Journal News a number of times, and there's been a number of articles on this.
Weren't there all kind of notices sent out also when we had the original meeting?
When we had the original meeting, there were, I think there were cards sent out to every registered voter. When we had the public meeting in October, we sent invitations to all those people that attended the initial meetings. There has been a lot, but I think you're talking about doing an executive summary to send out.
An executive summary that is mailed to every resident of the affected townships to say, hey, if you're interested in this, we're making some changes. Here they are. If you want more detail, go to the website or call, and we'll give you the full text.
I'm sure
but
something
can
be drafted.
Speak now or forever hold your peace type of a notice.
I think we can do that.
Any of the trustees have any input on that? Any thoughts one way or the other?
Sue will probably let us use Dusty to help on this.
Yeah. Bob, did you have something? Bob Eisen?
Well, I'd like to thank the commissioners for having us today. Listen, I think Mike has done an excellent job presenting this out to the public. And we have the Three Valley Trust, which they have a concern, a very good concern. We have the Builders Association, they have a concern. And we are always going to have that problem of someone saying that we never got it out to them. We try as hard as we can. I think Mike does. I think commissioners do. I think the whole county does. And if we condense it too much, I'm worried that they might not get the whole picture. They need to come to the hearings and see the whole picture.
Thanks, Bob. Anyone else?
I'm probably going to go the other way because the people that you look at your percentage that come to the township meetings versus your population. Most township residents, I'm speaking for Madison, if they're able to get to work in the morning and their kids go to school, they're satisfied with life. And you have a few people that do come and question, and those people that do come and question, you try to do the best you can to answer them, to send out what he's trying to send out or what we went through. It would be quite, and it also, in my personal opinion, it would be another stir up because it caused quite a stir when this process started up. It took a long time for us to involve. People thought that we were going to do sewers and what have you up in Madison. So in some ways, it's very informative, but in a lot of ways, it does stir, I don't know what the proper word to use, but it makes people think things that aren't actually there and causes a little bit of turmoil in some of our townships. But whatever you commissioners do, I will say this about Mike. One of the best run seminar meeting type. We set goals, we met those goals, and there was a lot of input. The best thing about the whole situation, in my personal perspective, it gives each township whatever their needs are, they can pick and choose the best to serve the people that's in their townships. And this tool here, if it does get passed, it's a vehicle that can really be used in all different townships in Butler County. I think it's good for all the residents, but we appreciate it in Madison. Mike and the staff did. They did work. They came in, it was paper, then it took time to get those papers organized. But we thank you very much.
Thanks, Alan.
How many more public
hearings? Three.
And we have the flexibility to have them in the course of our normal meetings or
a night meeting, whatever.
At night meetings and so forth.
Planning, rural zoning, and commissioners. They each have to have
three.
One. You have to have one, at least one. Commissioners have to have at least one.
No, I know it may stir folks up, but eventually, when you get down to individual developments, they get stirred anyway. And my sense is that it's better to have those exchanges on the front end if you can, and simply just lay it out and say, you know, because when we started this process, we did have a lot of folks, and they did come thinking there was a lot of other issues involved. A lot of the questions really didn't relate to, but that's just part of the education process. They bring to those meetings problems in their individual neighborhoods, everything from roads to sewers, and, you know, this is their opportunity to let somebody in authority know that they don't like something that's going on or whatever. It may or may not be on point. But for our purposes, I think the one of the things that has been so good about this process, the staff has done an incredible job, as has been pointed out, but it's been the involvement of so many people and the openness of the process. And I think that we don't do ourselves any harm, and I think we do ourselves a lot of potential good as we go into this last lap to take some sort of a notice and send out to every resident in the affected areas, refer them to the website, if they want more in-depth information regarding the specifics of the plan, you can refer them to your office, have a number to call, or to the website, and at least there's always the opportunity that somebody comes in with a perspective you haven't thought about. And my thinking is more information is good. It's our friend. It's not our enemy. And we'll stir some folks up, but there's some folks that just aren't happy unless they're unhappy. And we'll meet them.
We do on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
If I could, I'd like to acknowledge a few other people too. Not only at these committee meetings were township trustees present, but also all staff from various departments that have to do with development, including Soil Conservation, Extension Office, even the zoning departments from other townships. Jim Fox from Building and Zoning probably was in my office three times a week, going over more detailed stuff that you didn't really see today. There was a lot of hard work done by a lot of people, and I appreciate all the help I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Thanks, everyone. Appreciate it very much. Joe?
Hello. Today we have a replat for the Union Center Commerce Park, and really what this replat is just changing the lot location, the lot lines of this, these two parcels. And staff does recommend that this be approved.
Move to approve.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Joe, you can come in through here to get this stuff. Okay. There's a bin.
I had one item for approval this morning. This is for Foxborough Subdivision, Phase 2E in Westchester.
So move. Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
First would be approved travel and training, approved care facility personnel actions, approve an appropriation for Cincinnati-Dade road improvement, cancel maintenance bond for Cedarbrook Section 1, exchange performance bond for Four Bridges Phase 2B, grant special hauling permit to Loveland Excavating, adopt annual county highway system mileage for 05, cancel maintenance bond for Estates of Panthers Run, exchange performance bond for Indian Creek Trail Section 2 and 3, grant special hauling permit to Silverhawk Construction, advertise for bids for Cincinnati Dayton Road roadway improvement project, also for Stillwell Beckett Road at Woods Station Road, cause appropriation again for improvements to Cincinnati Dayton Road. Environmental Services, approve vehicle purchase, rescind a resolution, advertise for bids for Cincinnati Dayton Road and project, approve combining change order request for New Miami and 7 Mile Avenue, accept resignation of and reassignment of environmental educator, approve Summerline 6A extension of water and sewer, approve change order 3 and 4 for Green Crest and Sharon Creek lift stations, approve residential place off-site sanitary sewer extension, presidential place, approve and execute facilities agreement with Cincinnati Gas and Electric Company, authorize promotion to clerk 2. I did the reassignment, approve transfers and appropriations, accept amended certificate of estimated resources, approve a network equipment maintenance agreement with Consolidated Business under Job and Family Services, agreement with Children's Diagnostic Center, Dr. Eric Ringel, two contracts there, also with Dr. Kirjawal, accept place on file job survey family payroll, advertise for bids for contract. Under miscellaneous, I'd like to have number 37 approved because I don't have the detail on that. Number 38, approve appointment to Alcohol and Drug Addiction Services Board. Receive bids for Butler County Contract 5-1115. Approve amendments number 1 and 2 to intergovernmental agreement with TID. Approve agreement between Butler County Record Center, MRDD. Approve reimbursement. Approve designation of Board of Revisions representatives for 06. Return Red Pine Properties to Board of Elections for its final review. Approve contract with Harris and Leach Incorporated. Approve a separate agreement, MRDD agreement with Record Center. Approve contract with Quality Publishing for letterhead and envelope printing. Approve and execute community development agreement with McFarland Appraisal Services. Approve an agreement on behalf of Ronald Ashford with Juvenile Rehab Center. And authorize president and administrator execute contract with URS Corporation.
I have a question on, did you say you pulled 37?
Yes, I did.
Do we know, my question was more about the nature of the claim.
I've got it upstairs, I just didn't get it.
I mean, if it's, I just want to know, I don't want to block somebody from workers' comp unless there's some good reason.
I just didn't, I got it, I want
okay.
It. Yep.
And then there was something else, I had a question about. What was the? What are those amendments to the TID thing?
It's for the for the Port Authority to purchase. They wanted to do a project, but it's got money's going to run from the TID. Is forwarding the money to the county. Then we're forwarding money to the Port Authority.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Fox.
Yes.
And Commissioner Furman.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
Did anybody have anything?
Anybody have anything for the commission this morning?
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Commissioner Furman?
Yes.
Thank you.